It's Rosie on the House's favorite moments from 2016. Here's more of the Rosie team talking with the Meteorite Men. It's Rosie on the House.
Here with meteorite specialist and Emmy Award-winning author, TV host, and producer Jeff Notkin. Jeff, again, we want to thank you for taking time out of your Saturday morning to join us and share this with all of our listeners. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Rosie. I can't think of a more invigorating way to spend my Saturday morning than with you. You're full of positive energy.
Now, as it relates to Jeff's award-winning authorship, we have two of his books he's generously donated to us. In the last segment of this hour, we'll be running a meteorite trivia quiz. Two lucky callers will win two editions of these books. Jeff, thanks for generously providing those. Now, let's get to this population. Now, since 1960, the population of the globe has doubled from 3 billion to over 7 billion, doubled in the last 50 years. It's incredible to me how much of this debris is the Earth absorbing on a regular basis.
It's a fascinating thing. And so the first thing I should say is the number of meteorite falls that are witnessed by people every year are really small. So in a good year, we might have, I don't know, 3, 4, or 5 really visible fireballs. That's a large meteor that break up in the atmosphere and deposit pieces on the ground. And often it's very difficult to find them. And many of those will land in the ocean, and many will land in forests, and then they'll never be found or perhaps not even witnessed. What we don't see is the dust, the tiny little fragments that are landing on the surface of our planet all the time. So it has been theorized that the mass of our planet Earth is constantly increasing due to this falling of tiny pieces of cosmic debris all the time. And it's been estimated by various parties that this amounts to hundreds or thousands of tons every year. It's a hard thing to manage, measure, unless you get a lot of guys out there maybe with really tiny little strainers trying to catch all the pieces that are falling.
Has there ever been a record of someone being hit by any of this debris falling out of the sky?
Yes and no. Now, first of all, there are many apocryphal stories of where people claim they were hit by meteorites. And the only documented case that we have in recorded history goes back to 1954 in Sylacauga, Alabama, where a lady was minding her own business, Mrs. Hodges, she was named, in her home, and a meteorite crashed through the roof of her house, hit the wall, and bounced off, hit her leg. And there's a quite celebrated photograph of her with this enormous bruise on her thigh. So that was a glancing blow. But there is no solid documented case of someone actually being hit directly by a meteorite. Although it's very likely happened, or at least it's very likely that people have been killed or injured in the distant past before we had records. And there are many craters around the world that are, say, 3,000 to 6,000 years in age. And so we definitely had ancient peoples living in these areas at the time of impact. Again, right here in Arizona, our meteor crater is thought to be between 25,000 and 50,000 years old. So there are definitely Native American peoples living in that area at the time.
And I mean, you're talking about extremely dense, extremely heavy product traveling at thousands of miles an hour, blowing up in fireballs. So you've got these searing anvils flying through the sky. Now, the next thing I want to know is if they're so valuable. We've had one recently hit right here in Arizona. I'm thinking, okay, geometrically, here's the trajectory, and we think it's landed right about here. How do you even narrow down the landing zone of these objects?
That's really where the expertise comes in. I've been doing this for over 20 years, and in the old days, we used to interview eyewitnesses, and that's always a dodgy operation, because if you however many people you talk to, you'll get at least twice as many different opinions.
Yeah.
So in more modern times, we have adopted researching for video footage that may have captured the incoming fireball. But the best tactic is to use Doppler radar if it's available. And this is a very new technology that's being used in recovering meteorites. And it was developed here in the States by colleagues of mine, an astrophysicist and a weather specialist at the National Weather Center in Oxnard. And they said, hey, if we can track moving clouds with Doppler radar, maybe we can catch falling meteorite debris. And it works brilliantly if you happen to have a Doppler radar station nearby and a path going through the cloud at the right time.
As this particular meteorite, did we have that trajectory recorded?
There's very good fall data on it. And so the fall zone's been pinpointed with some accuracy.
Because the people I know that saw it in town thought it took out Mesa or Apache Junction.
Right.
Where was it? Like over by Sholo?
It's believed to have fallen in Salt River Canyon, near Salt River Canyon, in the Apache tribal lands.
Who owns it?
In the United States, meteorites are owned by the owner of the land upon which they fell. And so in this case, tribal property.
Okay.
And we've already heard rumors of enthusiastic meteorite hunters sneaking into tribal lands trying to find pieces, and that is both illegal and dangerous, so I don't recommend it. And this leads on to a fascinating topic, which is who owns, as asked in the CCR song, who owns a rock that falls to Earth from space? And different countries have different regulations.
Interesting.
And in the United States, on my property, I own it, no matter who finds it, unless somebody else owns the mineral rights.
Oh.
And if a meteorite falls on federal land, it belongs to the Smithsonian. Other countries have more complex regulations. We're still pretty meteorite hunting friendly in the States.
Keep Rosie on the House the number one referral directory in the state by voting at rosieonthehouse.com or Ranking Arizona.